Chapter 7. Fuck! I cursed. Of course, the moment I returned from my honeymoon, the last remaining Arkans decided they wanted to stir up trouble. The monster goddesses weren't exactly known for their considerate behavior, but Maker, they never gave us enough time to recover between encounters.
This isn't good,
Syra breathed, and the chocolate-skinned maid shook her head in disbelief. My wife was absolutely correct. Even though the pair of Arkans were outnumbered by the goddesses I had under my control, Huna and Keela were the second and third eldest of their sisters, so I couldn't underestimate their strength and magical abilities, no matter how confident I wanted to be.
Unfortunately, I'd have to agree with your assessment, Syra, Headmaster Sleet sighed. This certainly isn't a good situation in the slightest, and I fear it will only get worse.
Headmaster Sleet, when you say monster sightings, how many does that include? I inquired. Is it another herd? And if so, are they the same size as Karth's team was? And where were they last seen? Have they infiltrated the Enclave or leveled any surrounding towns like Karth's creatures did to Adorna? My mouth moved faster than my brain could keep up with, but all it took was a quick touch from Syra for me to settle down. The chocolate-skinned summoner flashed me a soothing glance, and I consciously relaxed my shoulders and the fists I'd unknowingly formed in my lap. The aforementioned village of Adorna had been the site of Nia and I's honeymoon, up until one of Karth's monsters, an enormous black slime creature called a Vencrimsel, had swept through the town and reduced it to rubble. Last I'd heard, the village had come together and gotten assistance from villages in the region to rebuild what had been destroyed. But if there was another herd of mega-sized monsters on the horizon, the destruction Varley faced could be just as catastrophic.
One question at a time, Mr. Griff, Sleet replied in a calm tone. I'll try to answer what I can, but I will warn you that many of the details are still incoming.
Okay, I nodded, and I took a deep breath once more. Sorry for speeding through.
To answer the question of size, they aren't nearly as large as Karth's herd, Sleet began. If the reports are as accurate as they seem to be, we'd venture to guess that they're grade C monsters at most.
Thank the Maker.
Syra let out a sigh of relief.
I wasn't looking forward to another herd of giant monsters.
Giant, no. But there might still be a herd,
the headmaster addressed my wife, and then he stroked his closely trimmed silver beard.
Karth had a variety of monsters under her control, but all of those reported sightings have been of the same creature, only in different places at once.
The same one,
Syra repeated back. Her dark eyebrows knitted together.
How is that possible?
Is the creature common, then? I frowned. A popular breed of monster. Some kind of pest. All of the Arkans had three personal monsters under their command, except for Karth, who'd used her influence magic to garner an entire herd of mega-sized creatures. From what I understood about the monster goddesses, amassing that many creatures was a rarity amongst them. So my brain struggled to understand how a horde of monsters could solely belong to Huna and Keela, especially ones of an identical variety.
These aren't creatures we've ever encountered before, Sleet replied to me as he leaned back further. At least not ones that have been documented in the past few hundred years, which is why we think they belong to the remaining Arkans. The research team has been trying to find mention of the monsters in every monster identification text and manuscript available to us, but we can't find them anywhere, so we can only assume they belong to the Arkans. It seems unlikely a new breed of monster would suddenly appear in Mistral otherwise.
That's a fair assessment, I agreed with the headmaster. So where have they been seen?
We've had reports come in over the past few days from Adorna all the way to Raylor's Stead, the headmaster replied. Grand Mage Kinnifik even received communication from his son, Navith, about a sighting not far from their seaside property up north.
Navith Kinnifik was Nia's older brother, and an exceptionally gifted water mage who could speak with marine animals. He'd been one of my groomsmen when I'd married Nia, but I hadn't seen him in person since just after the wedding. The entire Kinefic family had lived in the Hartmire Enclave until the infamous battle that nearly leveled the entire city. When the Enclave fell, Navith had traveled with Nia's mother, Nerissa, to an oceanside village, while Nia's father oversaw the rebuilding of their home in Hartmire. Through letters, we'd heard a while ago that Nerissa had since returned to Hartmire, but Navith remained in the village near the sea. What would bring them all the way up there? I wondered. And what would they want with the small village up north? This is all so strange.
Indeed it is, Sleet sighed. The first warning we got of the creature was from Raylor's stead, and then the following day we received four more reports. It was almost as if the herd of monsters had manifested in every corner of Mistral.
I know there's still plenty of questions to answer, but what kind of monster are we talking about? I frowned. What have the reports said about them?
I don't have a name to attach to them, but every communication we've received has described the monsters as wolf-like, the headmaster replied to me,
and he folded his hands neatly in his lap.
Similar in stature to those that reside in the forests of Mistral, though these monsters aren't the same as the wild animals we have here. According to the reports, they're slightly larger in size, long-legged, and have a strange composition that makes them almost appear translucent, as if they're phantoms of some sort. It's highly unusual.
Mist wolves,
Xanrath suddenly whispered in my mind, and I sat up straight in my chair. Mist wolves? I repeated back to her, just to make sure I'd heard her right. What are those?
The monsters he's just described sound just like Hunna's mist wolves.
The flame-winged Arkin continued on in a low voice.
They're her personal summons, and there's an entire pack of them.
Fuck, I muttered. A pack of monsters that belong to one Arkin? I thought Karth was the only one with a herd.
Fuck indeed,
Zan agreed.
And yes, the entire pack belongs to Hunna. In the beginning of our existence, she raised one from a pup. Mistwolves were rare back then, but not near extinction as they are today. Once Hunna's pup was full grown, she acquired another, a young she-wolf who bonded with the other wolf immediately. Together, the Mistwolves sired offspring, and their bloodline are the monsters that are currently roaming about the country.
Wow, I replied. Sounds like Hunna is quite the breeder. If this taking over the realm thing doesn't work out, perhaps she can find work.
Her pack is exceptionally powerful,
Zan continued on.
The Alpha Wolf and his mate were two of the strongest of their kind, so each of their offspring may not have the size advantage of the creatures Karth amassed, but they have speed, intelligence, and physical properties that make them nearly impossible to catch. They are quite deadly, especially to unarmed civilians in the wilds. If Hunna has sent the pack to the human realm, we're in for some trouble.
Are they vicious? I wondered.
They can be,
the umber-skinned Arkin answered in a serious tone.
This isn't a threat to be taken mildly. If Hunna has sent her pack out into the human realm, there's something wrong.
Griff? Syra prompted me, and I snapped out of my daze. You just zoned out and did that thing with your eyes. So I'm guessing you were speaking with the Arkins? Did they have anything to say about the creatures?
Arkin, I corrected my wife. It's only Zan. But she says if the descriptions are true, the monsters are called Mist Wolves, and they belong to Hunna.
Mist Wolves,
Sleet repeated back to me, and he stroked his beard again as he thought about it.
Interesting. I've never heard the name before. Well, at least we've been given confirmation, and a name to attach to the creature. Did the Arkin Xanrath give any more insight?
She said there's a pack Hunna's raised over the years, so that answers the question of how one monster could be in several places at once, I replied. I can't speak for the exact quantity, but if Zan's tone was any indication, there's a bunch of them, and they're all under her control.
I wonder why Huna has sent them here in the first place,
Syra mused.
And why they would be spread out. If they were seeking revenge against you, wouldn't it have made more sense for her to send the pack directly to Valet?
That was going to be my next question, I agreed with her. And then I turned to the headmaster. What's happened in these encounters? Have the Mist Wolves attacked the villages in the way Karths did? Or were they skulking around?
For now, it appears to be skulking, the headmaster said. A few of the reports mentioned snarls and growls when civilians attempted to approach, but there have been no casualties or injuries from the creatures.
I've never heard of passive monsters, I said. It seems odd to me that they haven't attacked anyone.
Are they searching for something?
Syra wondered.
That's an interesting theory, Miss Syra.
Sleet tilted his head to the side, and the renowned storm mage sat up straighter in his seat as his pale eyes stared at Syra intensely.
Could you elaborate on that for us?
If they're spreading out through Mistral and only snarling at people rather than attacking, my first thought would be that they're looking for something,
my wife said.
I don't know what that would be.
From what I've figured out from Karth's book, it seems like Huna and Keela want to merge the realms together, I pointed out to the pair. We don't know how they intend to do it, though, so maybe there's something they need that they're looking for, a piece that will help them out, but they don't know where it is, so they've sent the pack out to search the country.
Perhaps they seek an ancient artifact of some sort,
Sleet chimed in.
I don't know if such a thing exists, but that seems like a reasonable guess. Mr. Griff, would it be possible for you to interrogate Karth on the matter, since she is newly yours?
Well, I trailed off. There's sort of a problem there. The last time I tried asking Karth questions, she avoided them completely. It was almost impossible to get a helpful word out of her. All she wanted was to reflect and play games with me.
I can see how that would be a problem.
The headmaster raised a dark, sterling eyebrow. Have the others fought to provide answers as well?
Or is she the first to be defiant?
She's not the first, but certainly the worst, I said, and I rubbed the back of my neck absently. Arwen and Ashlyn think it may have something to do with Karth's influence magic. Her ability is all about manipulation, so her mind might be harder to infiltrate than the other goddesses.
Curious.
Sleet leaned back in his chair, and an amused expression crossed his features.
The Arkans are truly fascinating. Troubling and unpredictable, but truly fascinating.
It'd be more fascinating if she belonged to anyone else's consciousness, I smirked at the headmaster. I don't know how to get her to answer our questions, though I haven't made a second attempt yet. Perhaps she'll be more willing now that time has passed.
I'd suggest making another attempt, if possible, the headmaster proposed. If she could give even the slightest indication of what Huna and her pack are after, we could at least get a bit of a head start on thwarting them.
Aside from interrogating Karth, what should we do in the meantime?
Syra asked Sleet.
Griff's the only one able to talk with her, so what can the rest of us do to help?
For now, we shall continue working on the translations of the texts, and keep an eye on the situation,
Sleet decided.
Should more Mist Wolves appear, we'll take action. But until then, all we can do is survey the area and keep the wolves away from the larger villages. A good amount of Mistral is nervous about this new epidemic of monsters, but as long as the Mist Wolves remain passive, civilians should be free of panic. You've given us much to ponder, and I think we should further investigate the theory about the merging of the worlds. Perhaps Karth's books hold the knowledge of their plan.
I think that's about all we can do, I agreed with the headmaster. Now that I'm back from the honeymoon, I can better focus on the research team and taming Karth.
Don't forget about your exam,
Sleet reminded me with a small frown.
The impending Arkan attack is obviously a high priority. But so are your academics. If you still wish to take the comprehensive exam instead of just rejoining your third year, make your studying an immediate priority. The research team and I will begin to make a plan in case the situation goes awry. I pondered the offer once more, but ultimately decided to stick to my guns. I'd committed myself to taking this exam and proving my worth, so I needed to see it through. "Yes, sir," I nodded. "I still intend to take the exam, and once I pass, I'll shift my attention to this." The words that came from my mouth weren't necessarily a lie, but I knew it was going to be hard to focus on taking a test when the entire country was being stalked by Huna's monsters. I would do as the headmaster and Darwin requested, but only for as long as I had to. Once the exam was tackled, I would focus on the Arkans.
"Good,"
the headmaster said, and then he rose elegantly from the leather armchair.
"For now, I shall leave you to rest. I look forward to speaking with you soon, and even more so, I look forward to grading your exam in its entirety."
"Thank you, sir," I said. "Please don't hesitate to let me know if there's anything else I can do."
"Will do, Mr. Griff,"
Sleet agreed, and the gray-haired storm mage offered me a paternal smile.
"Take the next couple of days to recuperate, and once you've rested, Miss Hamner and I will arrange a time for you to take your test."
"I can do that," I nodded. Then I ushered the headmaster to the front door, and the storm mage placed his hand gently on my shoulder once we reached the front door.
"Don't worry, Griff," Sleet assured me. "We'll get to the bottom of this."
"I know we will," I smiled at him. Sleet squeezed my shoulder affectionately, offered Syra a small wave, and then walked out the door. And once it closed behind him, I released the breath I didn't know I was holding, and made my way back over to the formal sitting room. Syra had moved from the arm to the cushion of the chair, and the dark-haired summoner's chin rested in her hands as she peered up at me.
"I knew things were going to get intense when we returned, but that occurred much faster than I'd have guessed," she breathed. "None of this sounds good, Griff."
"I know," I agreed with her as I crossed into the room, perched on the arm of the chair, and reached down to stroke her curls. "Let's not doomsday everything too hard until we get some of the facts together, though."
"I know you're right, but it's not hard to freak out about this,"
Syra sighed.
"The Mist Wolves are passive now, but if they're really searching for something like we think they are, that lax attitude is only going to change. And when it does, people could get hurt."
"We won't let that happen," I insisted. "We'll get to the bottom of it soon, I promise. If I need to interrogate Karth today..."
"Griff, you look way too tired for that."
Syra shook her head adamantly. "I'll be fine," I said, but my wife turned around to face me head on. Her chocolate brown eyes pleaded for me to reconsider, and after a deep breath, I realized Syra was right. "Okay, it can wait until tomorrow."
"We wouldn't be able to stop them today anyway."
Syra rested her hand on my leg.
"Unfortunately, conquering the Arkans requires a good amount of time and planning."
"I wish I could hasten the process," I sighed. "I'm ready to put all of this behind us."
"Me too,"
the umber-skinned summoner agreed with me.
"We'll get there soon enough, my love. I promise."
Syra offered me a reassuring smile, but our moment was interrupted by a knock on the wall.
"Are you too hungry?"
Arwen asked as she poked her head in the doorway.
"I can throw together some lunch if you are, unless you'd prefer breakfast or dinner food. If anything sounds even remotely good, we can make it happen."
"Honestly, I'm just kind of beat," I admitted, and a yawn rose up in my chest and erupted before I could stop it. "I really appreciate the offer. It was very kind of you. But I think I should take the headmaster's advice and get some rest. I'm still feeling pretty tired. And from the sounds of it, I'm going to need to be as focused and attentive as possible for the next week or so."
"I think that's a smart plan, Griff,"
Arwen nodded, and the gorgeous redhead stuck her hands in the pockets of her thin leather leggings. The dark green pants clung to her long, shapely legs like a second skin, and showed off the contours of her perfect ass.
"Well, the offer of a meal still stands once you awaken, whenever that will be. Ashla and I will be working on the translations this afternoon, and the others are out doing some shopping. so the house should be nice and quiet for you.
Thanks, Arwen. I smiled at the healer mage.
Of course.
She nodded, and her full lips broke into a smile.
Go upstairs and get some rest. When you wake up, we'll get some food in you, and then I want to hear all about your honeymoon. Did you have a good time?
We did.
Syra and I spoke in unison, and then my wife and I cracked up. Arwen joined in, and it was nice to have a moment of mirth amongst the chaos. Once the laughter died, I glanced up the stairs and then turned to Syra. Syra, would you care to join me for a nap? I prompted my wife.
Is Milo with Melor?
Syra addressed Arwen.
Yes, but he isn't set to return until this evening,
the redhead said.
Meriden and Melor weren't sure when you and Syra would be returning, so they offered to keep him at their place for the whole day.
That was very kind of them, I said.
They were more than happy to do it,
Arwen replied as she leaned against the staircase railing.
They love Milo, so I'm sure you were doing them a favor as much as they were doing one for you. That's an adorable mental image,
Syra gushed.
I'm glad the old man has taken such a shining to our son.
How could he not? I smirked. Milo's hard to resist. It was then I noticed Arwen's hand resting gently on her stomach, and the healer mage's amber eyes were soft as she peered down. How have you been, Arwen? I asked her. With the pregnancy and everything. I know we were only gone for a few days, but I want to make sure you're doing okay.
I appreciate the concern, Griff. But the baby and I seem to be perfectly fine,
Arwen assured me.
I know I don't look my best right now, but it's due to a lack of sleep, not illness. In between the monster sightings and the work with the research team, there's been a lot of activity around here, and I've admittedly been pushing myself a little too hard.
Arwen, you need to take better care of yourself, I pressed. I know you're just doing your job, but you also need to give yourself a moment of rest as well. You and the baby need to be as healthy as possible, and you can't be healthy if you aren't getting sleep.
I promise I'll get to sleep earlier tonight,
Arwen assured me in a softened tone.
Now, enough about me. Both of you go upstairs and try to relax.
Will do, I agreed with the healer mage. And even though I wanted to ask her about her research, I decided it would be best to give her some space for now.
Shall we?
Syra asked. And after I gave her a nod, we headed up the spiral staircase with our luggage in tow. When we reached the second floor, we filed into my bedroom. And from there, we only mustered enough effort to remove our shoes and coats before we climbed into my nice, soft bed. Syra curled up on her side, and I wrapped myself around her as if we were two puzzle pieces. I breathed in the scent of her perfume, and then closed my eyes.
Griff?
My dark-haired wife whispered. Yes?
I love you,
she replied.
I know I've said it a million times, but in light of everything, I just wanted to repeat it.
I love you too, I murmured, and I pulled the umberskinned summoner even closer. Thanks for being my rock.
That's what I'm here for.
She sighed as her eyes fluttered closed. The bedroom fell silent, and I couldn't stay awake any longer. Arkans, mist wolves, exams. The honeymoon was officially over, and if I wanted to face everything to the best of my ability, I needed sleep. And soon, Hoona and Keela were going to be mine. For the next few days, I rested, studied, and spent quality time with my family. And then, at the end of the week, the dreaded day finally arrived. It was time to take the comprehensive exam. The morning of the test, Arwen and the rest of my women had insisted I eat a nutritious and filling breakfast. So Freya prepared a meal of eggs, fresh bread, bacon, and various fresh fruits for everyone. We all hung around the kitchen table, and as I sipped at my coffee, Nia and Layla quizzed me with a stack of flashcards.
What was the reported height of a full-grown Amasaur?
Nia recited from a card. My ashen-haired wife's eyes penetrated me with a focused gaze meant to intimidate me, but I couldn't be swayed.
And what year did they seemingly go extinct?
It was said a mature Amosaur ranged about 30 feet, if male, 25 if female, I replied. And they were last seen 200 years ago.
Very good,
the multi-elementalist nodded, and she replaced the card at the bottom of the deck.
Can you tell me what elemental variations there are of the Chimera?
Layla read from another card, and then she took a huge swig from her coffee cup. Ice and fire, I answered. There's been speculation that electric variants exist, but no hard evidence to back it up.
I think he's gonna ace this,
Layla grinned at Nia, and I felt myself slightly raise my chin with pride. I'd been studying hard, and I felt like I was going to pass this test with little difficulty. While the pair of mages stashed away the cards, Freya and Syra appeared with platters of food.
Eat up, my husband,
the Hawk Princess instructed me as she handed me an overfilled plate.
You must prepare your body just as much as your mind. Good food will help.
You're too good to me, I said as I accepted the steaming plate from her. Seriously, Freya, thank you.
Of course,
my golden-haired wife nodded firmly.
It's what any wife would do for her husband before battle.
Well, I wouldn't call an exam a battle, I drawled as I stabbed my fork into my eggs. The steam from the plate kicked up with the effort, and my mouth watered at the delicious smell.
I would address it as such,
Freya insisted, and her gold-flecked brown eyes flashed.
What is a test if not a battle of your brain against a paper?
That's actually a pretty good comparison, I realized before I scooped up a huge bite of food and chewed it thoughtfully.
You will do great,
Freya emphasized, and she squeezed my shoulder before she took up the seat beside me.
You've got this in the bag, Griffy,
Layla agreed with the Hawk Princess. What I'm going to have is a stomach ache if I keep eating away at this. I laughed at the petite summoner, and then I patted the cushioned seat beside me. Get over here and help me get through this food, Bethel.
You don't have to tell me twice,
Layla chirped happily, and she parked her tiny body in the empty chair. I passed her a fork, but she immediately swooped in and stole a big piece of juicy bacon.
I'm really proud of you, Griff,
Nia spoke up after she swallowed a bite of toast.
You've really been committing yourself to this exam, and haven't let anything else distract you.
Thanks, Nia, I said, though I wouldn't have gotten far without all of you. I appreciate you all helping me with the flashcards and quizzes.
Of course,
Aaron finally spoke up from the far end of the table. She'd been so focused on giving Oliver his bottle, she hadn't said a word yet. But our strawberry blonde son had finally given in and started sucking at it happily.
I'm glad we could help out.
You guys helped a lot, I assured the orange-haired mimic, and Aaron flashed me a brilliant smile.
Have you guys seen Arwen and Ashla this morning?
Nia wondered as she looked around the room.
Ashla left early to get to the research office,
Syra reported from across the room.
She said she wanted to get a head start before the others arrived. It seemed like she was on the verge of something.
Hey, that's great, I said after I took another sip of my coffee. I'm glad someone is getting somewhere at least.
Fingers crossed,
Syra replied.
The sooner the research team uncovers some information from Koth's book, the sooner we can start dealing with the Mist Wolves. I want to see a Mist Wolf,
Layla mused. And when we all looked at her with similar expressions of concern, the petite mage's golden cheeks flushed bright red.
Not like in a battle sense. I just want to see what they look like. They sound kind of cool. I'm sure they'll be really cool when they're lunging for your throat,
Syra teased the auburn-haired mage, and Layla playfully chucked a grape in her direction. It's too early for food fights, I joked just as Syra catapulted a grape of her own at Layla's head. Oliver let out a squeal as it bounced off the tiny summoner's forehead, and soon we all echoed the sound. The only person who didn't partake in the laughter was Freya, who was preoccupied with scrubbing at a pan. Freya, come join us! I tried to wave her over, but the blonde shapeshifter only offered me a small smile.
I am not hungry,
Freya insisted.
But thank you anyway.
She turned her attention back to the pan, and I felt my eyebrows crease together involuntarily. My hawkwife always joined us for breakfast, and it wasn't like her to ignore a chance to socialize with us. Maybe she had a headache or a stomachache, but something was definitely off. The rest of my women seemed to notice something wasn't right either, and I watched each of them study Freya for a moment, and then look back down at their plates inconspicuously.
Arwen's upstairs getting ready,
Nia answered the other half of my question.
She was in the shower last time I checked.
Noted, I said. We finished breakfast in silence, and one by one, my women left the kitchen to get to their classes, the babies, and whatever else they had planned for the day. Do you know if everything is okay with Freya? I asked Layla once everyone cleared out of the room.
I think so,
Layla frowned.
But I'm not entirely sure. Why do you think something's wrong?
I don't know how to explain it, I admitted in a sheepish tone. But something about her feels off.
It is unlike her not to eat,
Layla agreed.
Especially something she's made herself. I know she said she wasn't hungry, but I wonder, do you think she's pregnant again?
Why is that always your first thought? I laughed.
We all get pregnant so easily. It seems like a logical explanation.
The auburn-haired mage giggled.
Your seed is pretty potent, Griffey.
Let's not talk about my seed right now, I insisted as I set my fork down. No, I don't think it's pregnancy. I saw her drink her contraceptive tea yesterday, so I'd rule out that possibility.
Oh,
Layla said. The petite mage raised her coffee mug to her lips and blew gently.
Never mind, then. So if it's not pregnancy, what else could be wrong?
I don't know, I admitted. Did something happen while Syra and I were off in Nattinger?
Not that I know of,
Layla said with a small frown.
I agree something seems off, but I can't put my finger on it. Arwen said her one-on-one lessons with Freya are going super well, so it can't be academic. And she's such a badass superhero mom, so there's no way it's Lara.
If you get a chance today, can you try to gather some intel from the others? I inquired. I don't like going that route, but maybe she's mentioned something to one of the other women that might explain what's going on with her.
I'll see what I can find out,
Layla nodded, and the petite mage rested her small hand on my arm.
Don't worry, Griffey. She's probably okay. Freya's tough. She might just have a headache or need some rest or something. No matter what it is, we'll get to the bottom of it.
You're right, I agreed. And my girlfriend leaned forward and planted a soft kiss on my cheek.
Of course I'm right.
Layla smiled at me before she got up from her chair and straightened out her skirt.
Now, don't go stressing out about this any longer. You've got a test to concentrate on, and I need you to pass. I don't need anyone to think I'm dating someone who's been held back. It's bad for my reputation.
If you weren't so cute, I'd have to kick your butt, I laughed.
You can find more ways to punish me later,
Layla winked at me.
But only if you pass.
Oh, then I'll definitely be sure to ace it, I grinned. And when I do, you're mine.
See you then.
Layla waggled her eyebrows suggestively, and then the pixie-like summoner flitted out of the room. Though I was still worried about Freya, I found my lips remained curled up into a smile. Layla knew just how to improve my mood, and I knew she'd be able to uncover what was going on with my hawkwife. For now, I had a test to ace. Just as I stood up from the table, Arwen peeked her head into the doorway.
I was just coming to retrieve you,
the healer mage smiled.
Are you ready to head up to the academy?
Arwen was assigned to proctor the exam, and since I was the only one who was taking it, Headmaster Sleet decided the crimson-haired mage's classroom was the most private location for me to complete the test. Yes, ma'am, I replied. Will I need any of my school supplies?
Unless you'd like to study your notes on the way there. You won't need anything but a writing utensil.
Arwen shook her head. Her scarlet hair had been straightened to perfection today, and hung like a ruby curtain down her back. The deep charcoal color of her knee-length coat made the tresses look even brighter, and for a moment, I was distracted by her beauty. I should be good, I decided. If I'm not ready now, I won't ever be.
That's the spirit, Arwen chuckled. All right, then. Grab your coat and we can head out.
I gave the professor a quick nod and then hustled down the corridor and up to my bedroom. I was tempted to change my mind and grab my notes, but a voice in my head told me I was ready. I'd been studying for weeks now, and I'd prepared myself in every possible way.
You've got this, boss,
Dio exclaimed in my head.
You're a total badass, and you're going to obliterate this exam.
Thanks for the reassurance, buddy, I laughed at my familiar. Then I reached into my side pouch and retrieved the fang-shaped essence crystal my creature resided in and crushed it in my hands. When the blue-black smoke cleared, my saber-toothed cat monster appeared, and he gave me a big stretch before he happily purred at me. Dio's normal form was about 20 feet tall, but when we were inside, he opted to shrink down to the size of a kitten, or sometimes a house cat. Today, he shrunk down to his kitten-sized form, and I scooped up the tawny cat in one hand. You gonna be my good luck charm? I asked him as I scratched behind his ears. The saber-toothed cat's tongue lolled out as I hit the right spot, and the room filled with the sound of his gleeful purrs.
Always, Dio insisted. Now, let's not keep Arwen waiting. She's too beautiful to be left alone.
You're such a lady killer, I chuckled, and I hugged the cat close to me.
You bet I am.
I closed the door behind me and carried my familiar down the stairs. Arwen's amber eyes lit up when she glimpsed the cat in my arms, and without hesitation, I passed Dio over to her.
He's so cute,
Arwen cooed down at Dio as she kissed the top of his tiny forehead. Dio's purrs echoed through the foyer, and I was impressed a monster that small could make such a loud sound.
He's a baby, I teased.
Ready to go?
Definitely,
Arwen nodded. The professor and I walked out the front door, and a shiver ran through me as we stepped into the morning air. I was glad Arwen had recommended bringing coats, because it was surprisingly chilly out, and I stuck my hands in my pockets, and Arwen held Dio closer. If you're too cold, I can stash him away for a bit, I suggested.
I'm all right, the healer mage insisted. My jacket has fur on the inside, and your familiar is like a little hand warmer.
That's not the only thing I could keep warm.
I shot Dio a warning look and stifled a laugh. Despite the obvious species and language barrier, my familiar was a massive flirt, and he especially loved to dote on my women. He is pretty fuzzy, I laughed.
Do you have any lingering questions before we reach the academy?
Arwen asked.
I won't be able to answer anything once we reach the school, so this will be your final chance for clarification.
I don't think I have anything else to ask, I said. Layla and Nia ran through my flashcards this morning, and I seemed to have a handle on it all.
Excellent, Arwen replied.
Her amber eyes were especially golden in the morning sunlight, and combined with her pink cheeks, she was looking especially pretty.
If something pops up in your head between here and there, please be sure to speak up.
Will do, I said. But as we walked, I couldn't think of anything I still didn't know. So instead, I focused on my breathing. If I kept a level head, I'd be able to remember everything I had studied. Worrying would only make me trip up, so I needed to remain confident and poised. The walk to the academy went faster than I wanted it to, and before I knew it, we were nearly to Arwen's office. As we moved down the crowded corridor, Arwen passed Dio back to me, and I carefully stashed the kitten-sized monster in my side pouch. One of the conveniences of a size-shifting familiar was being able to stash him away when necessary. When we reached the office, Arwen retrieved her keys from her jacket, unlocked the door, and held it open for me to step through.
Take a seat anywhere. I'll go ahead and grab your exam, Arwen said,
and then she disappeared down the corridor. The clicking sounds of the professor's boots echoed through the hall, and once they disappeared, I stepped into the office and peered around. Arwen's office appeared a lot messier than the last time I'd seen it. Papers and open manuscripts drowned her desk and threatened to spill onto the ground. And her chalkboard was filled with illegible scribbles I couldn't decipher, no matter how hard I stared at them. Clearly, the professor had been hard at work with her personal research. And while the messy state of her materials worried me a bit, I was impressed by her dedication to translating the Shadowscape texts. I took a seat at the table across from her desk and folded my hands in front of me as I waited for Arwen to return. Test anxiety tried to creep in as the minutes passed by, but I managed to push it down each time it threatened to swell. Finally, Arwen returned, and she gave me an apologetic smile.
"Sorry that took so long. There was something wrong with the final page I needed to adjust."
"No problem," I said, and I gestured toward her desk. "Are you getting any closer on any of the materials? It looks like you've put in a lot of work recently."
"Oh," Arwen chuckled, and her cheeks darkened a bit. "My apologies for the mess. I haven't had a chance to tidy up in here. I was following a lead the other evening, and I suppose I got away with myself."
"It happens," I shrugged. "I don't mind. This is your office, after all."
"We can discuss those things later," the crimson-haired healer assured me, and then she handed me the exam. "Are you ready for this?"
"I am," I grinned. I knew my smile probably looked cocky, but I was feeling all right.
"Brilliant."
Arwen gave me a dazzling smile of her own.
"This isn't timed, so don't feel like you need to rush. Whether you require 6 hours or 6 minutes, I've cleared my schedule for you."
"I don't think it'll take 6 hours, but thank you for setting that time aside for me anyway." I thanked her as I flipped through the exam papers.
"I'll go ahead and leave you to it then,"
Arwen nodded curtly.
"I'll be at my desk working on a few things. Just look up when you're finished."
The professor crossed back over to her desk, and once she was seated, I took a deep breath and raised my pen. It was time to make this test my bitch. Up until this moment, I'd been extremely nervous to take the test, but now that it was in front of me, all of my fears melted away. I recognized each of the questions from my tutoring sessions with Arwen, and I managed to fly through the multiple choice section with ease. Why had I been so stressed in the first place? Once I finished the multiple choice section, I moved on to the essay portion of the exam, which was slightly more challenging. I took the time to write out my answers to the best of my ability and took care in choosing my words carefully. I wanted to demonstrate to both Arwen and Sleet that I'd learned plenty in between classes and my time in the field, and that I was worthy of moving into my third year. The test itself took me an hour or so to complete, and once I finished penning my last essay question, I flipped through many pages of the test to double-check my responses. I was confident in my choices, but I wanted to make sure I hadn't missed anything anyway. Arwen looked up from her notebook once I set my pen down, and the healer mage offered me a smile.
"All done?"
she asked.
"Yes, Miss Hamner," I replied in the most studious tone I could manage.
"Always so cheeky," Arwen smirked. "If you weren't so cute, I would wrap you on the wrists for your naughtiness."
"Can we revisit that fantasy later?" I asked.
"That sounds pretty damn pleasant to me." The redhead stood up, walked around her desk, and collected my exam from me. Her eyes trailed across the pages as she leafed through them, and once she'd scanned every page, she gave me another smile.
"I should have this graded soon," she announced. "Once it's done, I have to discuss your results with the headmaster, and we'll figure out how to proceed from there. Does that sound all right?"
"You're the teacher, not me," I reminded her. "But yes, that sounds great. Thank you, Arwen."
"It's no trouble at all," the professor assured me. "I watched you take the exam, and if your level of concentration is any indication, I have no doubt you passed."
"I hope you're right," I sighed. "I worked really hard."
"I know you did," Arwen replied. I'm really proud of how dedicated you were to taking this exam. I know it was a big ask, and I also know the headmaster offered to plunk you back into classes without it. But I think your decision to take the test shows how far you've come since you first entered the academy. You've become a mature young man, and an even more talented student and summoner, Griff. And I'm proud to be yours.
Oh, Arwen, I sighed as I stood up, crossed over to my crimson-haired lover, and swept her into my arms. Thank you for saying that, but I'm the one who should be thanking you and singing your praises. I never would have gotten this far if it weren't for you believing in me and pushing me to be the best possible version of myself.
I'm going to cry,
Arwen laughed lightly as she dabbed at her amber eyes.
My apologies. I'm just feeling awfully emotional lately. It must be the pregnancy hormones working their way into my system.
Don't apologize, I insisted as I cupped her cheek in my hand. I'm never going to judge you for feeling things, and I'm especially not going to turn down compliments from you. I'll never tire of hearing you say you love me. Arwen and I shared a kiss, and then we parted ways so the professor could grade my exam. As I walked down the crowded corridor, I felt a swell of pride. No matter the outcome, I'd achieved what I'd set out to do, and I was proud of my hard work. That evening, my women drew me a small party to celebrate me completing the comprehensive exam. They all chipped in and surprised me with my favorite foods, and together we spent the evening eating, drinking, and laughing. It was nice to celebrate my accomplishment, but I couldn't help but notice Freya still seemed off. At one point, I shot a glance to Layla to see if she'd gathered any intel, but the auburn-haired mage shook her head apologetically. I gave her a smile to thank her anyway, and then I looked over at my hawk wife. Despite all of the talking in the room, the blonde wasn't engaged in conversation, and from the look of her plate, she'd barely touched her food. Her face was entirely unreadable, and my mind began to spin out as I tried to figure out what could be wrong. When the warrior princess silently excused herself, I rose from the table and followed her into the living room. She immediately crossed to the window, and as she stared out into the moonlit night, I watched a chill travel up her spine. Freya, I prompted my wife, and when she turned around to face me, I noticed the whites of her eyes were slightly red as if she'd been crying.
Sorry, the shapeshifter apologized. I did not mean to leave the room. My stomach is behaving badly again, and I was afraid I was going to be sick.
Is everything all right? I asked the hawk princess as I stared into her lovely golden brown eyes. My wife's lower lip trembled, and I could tell something was on her mind. I didn't want to press the issue too far, but I couldn't stand another minute thinking Freya was in distress.
No,
Freya admitted to me.
Not everything.
Well, is there anything I can do to make it right? I wondered. I sat down on the leather couch, and then I patted the empty cushion beside me. Come, talk to me about it. Freya rubbed her arm and then stepped over to the couch and sat down gracefully. She tugged at a strand of blonde hair, and with every second of silence, my anticipation grew. Finally, she raised her chin, and her eyes bore into mine.
Griff, I want to go home.